Hello, everyone. Welcome to this Monday episode here on BBS Radio with Winfrey and Terry Brown in Sedona, Arizona. My name is Thijs Minderhout, located in California. And I believe that Win is here already with us. Hello, Win.
Hello, Thijs.
How do you
do? Doug said he put us on BBS Radio early.
Yes, we are.
So I thought I'm just playing some. Who's that?
Wanda in Canada.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm playing music now, waiting for people to show up. We're on BBS Radio. Hello, BBS. Huh?
It's funny you're playing that song today because it's a song that I reminded somebody of, and we were chuckling about it and remarking about how it always consistently stays in tune, in time, for everyone.
It's a real good song.
The person that I was talking to about it, she's in surgery this afternoon right now.
Mm.
She's an old friend of your guys's.
Who?
Donna Durrell.
Donna, not from Kingman, is it?
Donna from Great Falls.
From Great Falls, Montana. Oh,
yeah.
She's in the hospital?
Yeah, she had to go back. She's had to go in today for surgery again.
Which hospital?
She's in this Great Falls. I think she's in the St. Can't remember which one it's called again now. There's three of them there. There's three hospitals
there. Maybe I should call her.
Oh, she would be tickled crazy. I told her she'd start calling back into the show, but she's really been under the weather for months now, like an in and out of surgeries, eh?
How do you spell her last name?
Durrell. Dorell.
Great Falls, Montana Hospital, right?
Yeah.
But you don't know which one.
I can't. No, I have to look it up all the time whenever I want to figure out which one. You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I talked to her just momentarily this morning and wished her well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell her I said hello, and I'm going to do another song while we're waiting for people. If you're on BBS Radio, welcome. This is Winfrey. And, you know, we do this little 10-minute period where people check in, which is usually a lot of fun. Hang on a second here.
Hello, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Don. Welcome.
Thanks.
Hello, Don.
Hi.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. This is Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Welcome, Jeannie.
Jeannie.
Hello, Jeannie.
Hi.
And the next person that joined in, we welcome you.
Hi, Prudy.
Prudy? Yeah, hello.
Hello, Prudy. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Hello, Prudy.
Hello, who's that?
Wanda.
Oh, Wanda.
Hi, Wanda. Hi, Don.
Wynn's here, Prudy.
Hi, Wynn.
I win.
He gets a little shy sometimes.
He's so mysterious.
It's a special Monday. It's a beautiful Monday today, and Win's in early.
Is Bonnie here?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Hi's.
Hello, Bonnie.
Hi, guys.
She owns a bar, and she still sounds sober.
I am.
I just can't.
Bars are always sober.
Sound sober.
Bonnie, I can't wait to be at your bar and have a hamburger with a good beer.
Awesome. Welcome. Welcome anytime, please.
What kind of IPA do you have on tap?
I have no idea right at the moment. I don't drink beer.
Got a Dutch beer.
Bonnie, you should announce a special discount for members of our group.
Oh, it's free for all of you guys. Are you kidding?
Yeah, if we can make it there, right?
Right?
If you can get here, yes, yes. I love it. Thank you, guys.
Right.
So where's your bar?
It's in Corona, California.
Oh, yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the Monday call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Terry from Mount.
Hello, Terry.
Hi,
good
Terry.
Evening. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Welcome to the Monday call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Jane.
Hi.
Welcome to the Monday call. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Welcome.
Thank you, Heist.
Hello, Roger.
Hi.
And the next person, we welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello, lovely Terry.
Hi. Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Oh.
A visitor from heaven. We welcome you with arms wide open.
Oh, thank you.
That's my favorite song. With arms wide open.
Yeah, I like it too.
I have 3 versions of it on my phone. And last night I kept on listening to Pink Floyd, Us and Them.
Which song?
Us and Them by Pink Floyd.
Us and Them. I'm not familiar with that song. I'll check it out.
Oh, it's one of my all-time favorites. Since I was, 10 years old, 12 years old.
Dark Side of the Moon.
That album was put out.
Dark Side of the Moon, nice.
It's the original Pink Floyd album with the pyramid on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. Hi.
Yes, Vin? Yes?
It's 925-949-BBS.
925. Did you talk about a phone number?
Yeah, where is 925?
That is the one. Yeah, it is the one. Yes.
That's it, right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, because it used to say BBS, right?
Yes, but they come in recently more often outside of the moderation.
Right. Okay.
You did talk to either one, right?
Well, Doug came on really early, and that's why I was playing songs. He said, I'm putting you on.
All right. Get on.
So I'm going to do a rerun of Carla. I think I'll do a rerun of this song. The last time I played it, everybody said it was their favorite song of mine. Anyone remember what it was? One second, here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 7th. No, it's 6:07. It's April 8th, 2019. And when is getting Alzheimer's? What can I tell you? He looks at the clock and calls it the date, right? So, we're going to start.
I think
out
you're very sharp. When you I think you're very sharp when you see that time that you can make it to date.
Oh, yeah.
I have to use my fingers. What is the 6 months? What is the 7 months?
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I went to college, Hayes. What do you expect?
I didn't, yeah.
You didn't go to college?
Yes, I did.
All right. Now, nobody remembers the song that everybody loved, right? Recycled Paint.
Was it the one that you were playing earlier?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Recycled Paint.
I remember liking it. I don't remember the name, though.
Here we go. It's very deep.
Muted.
Yes, I got this hurt inside. I tried to lay on you. Spoke the same old words of love, but the feelings weren't true. And though you made me feel good for a little while, that hurt came back again. Just another case of recycled pain. Just another case of recycled pain. It's another case of recycled pain. Yes, I have been blaming you for these feelings that I had. Yes, I have been naming responsible for all the bad, shifting responsibility, temporarily easing my shame. Just another case of recycled pain. It's another case of recycled pain. Just another case of recycled pain.
Okay, we got the okay. Welcome. This is Monday, June 21st, and my name is Wynn Free, and we are doing our Monday night simulcast, which is a conference call. Okay, we got the okay. Welcome. This is Monday, June 21st, and
is involved in recovering from a spinal fusion operation with eight vertebrae involved. It was 2 months before I could lift my head from the pillow without a groan. But, of course, as in so many things of this nature, if you look for the blessings, you find them. And it was pretty easy to find the blessing for me. I have a tendency to feel a sense of satisfaction when I get something done. I get a sound session done for a speaker or for the public meeting, or we have a gathering, or I write another chapter or an article or edit something that's come in on our transcribers. And I've been just encased in that mode of jamming everything I could into a day and just hardly being able to wait for the next day so I could go at it again. There's so much good work to do. And all of a sudden, my head space had to change. It had to go from being to doing. I mean, from doing to being. And instead of counting my self-worth because I could see the words on the paper I'd written or something else up online, I'm sort of like a storekeeper. I like to see new things on our archive site. So I had to switch from that to realizing my worth in Essie. My worth as a human being, as a spark of the Creator, and remembering that although I'm worthy from way deep within myself, I could cloud the picture by letting my vibration go downhill because I was fussing over this or that discomfort that was occurring to me. And so I got back into a really good headspace where I spent my time tuning my energy. And I think hopefully I can carry that back into my working atmosphere and not lose that appreciation of myself as a part of the Godhead principle, realizing that my vibration, just as they are, that's what I have control over. That's what I can do even if I'm on my deathbed. I can work with my tuning until I'm clear, so that the love and the light of the infinite Creator can just flow through. So really, I spent the last couple, 3 months counting my blessings.
Well, hang on. I'm going to mute everybody. We're getting a little background noise. Like, right now, how are you feeling? Are you feeling, it sounds like,
I'm still really uncomfortable, sore as an old bear, but down on the pain medication so that I trust myself to speak without sounding like an addle-brained idiot. Being on topic, you know, pain medication will do that to you. But I feel so much better. I've worked my way up to 45 minutes of the computer.
All right.
It feels good to be back in the saddle, even if it's just 45 minutes a day.
Well, I'm so glad you're back with us.
I've missed talking with you. How about you, Sherry? How have things gone for you?
There's been a lot of big shifts, and I've left my legal secretary job, and now I'm putting my efforts into something more to my liking, actually. I like my legal secretary job, but this way I'm putting it more into projects that are really heartfelt, and so I've made a lot of good changes.
Boy, that sounds terrific. How about you, Wynn?
How about me?
Yeah.
You know, I've noticed something about people who channel, but this is not necessarily true with you, but the people that I personally know that channel have a tremendous challenge of being grounded. And Do you think you're grounded? I think you are.
Well, I think I'm more balanced than most channels because of the fact that I have such a strong mind, and the logic circuitry is strong. So I've always sort of been balanced between the two worlds and had a foot in each. But it also helped me that my life mate now is a man who makes his living gardening. His hands are literally in the soil, and he comes home at the end of the day, you know, a hard physical labor, and appreciates the difference between us. And so I think I'm grounded more because of my mate. He lives in a more inspired world because of me. So it's a wonderful trade-off where we share these energies in a way that helps us both. But yeah, I would agree with you, and I think I'm probably more grounded than a lot of channels.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I always found very amazing with you and Jim, and quite frankly, I don't think you made enough of it, or at least I don't think most people know this happens. But and I don't even know if it's still happening. But that amazing experience where you would channel and then channel Crow, and then suddenly Jim would pick up where you were, and it was just like the same intelligence. It wasn't very much of a shift, and it would continue through Jim.
Yeah, and I hope to get back to my channeling circle soon. The first Saturday of every month is devoted to people who have been part of my channeling gathering where I've been teaching channeling, and they come back and channel. They have the opportunity to channel in a circle once a month, and more that has become a joy. You can see that online. We have a special section for the channeling circle to differentiate from meeting. And hopefully, if we're all tuned in to the same vibration as we're picking up the channeling in the circle, we are all channeling the same entity. And the differences in the channeling are more having to do with people's, you know, waking personality and their life experiences, so that they will find a way for talking through each channel in the circle to make the best of that channel and use the colors of that channel to expand upon and differentiate with the themes that would be possible, say, for me. Say, somebody else, an artist, or somebody else, an engineer, or a professor of philosophy, they all have things that, you know, the channeling source can pick their brain and basically offer a fuller look at the subject at hand. Hang on a minute. I'm going to have to get a cat off of my lap. He's driving me crazy.
We now know Carla's cat's name is Pickwick.
Pickwick likes to, yeah, Pickwick is a lovely, lovely cat. He's 14 years old and still worms around and chases his tail, and he's very playful. He doesn't want to be. He's a wonderful ambassador at public meetings because he loves everybody. But he has a great love of me. He likes to lick my face. And eventually, you're going to begin hearing purrs. You know, I don't get this cat off my lap. I'm doomed.
When did Jim first start channeling?
He came in 1978.
So he was channeling in the original group then.
Don was still alive, and obviously, and I was teaching channeling at the time quite a bit, more so than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
There was always a channeling circle going, and he learned better than any other student I've ever had. That was actually the beginning of our relationship with teacher-student. And it gradually became, you know, partnership and research associate. And then after we married, I became his student because he has such an incredible ability to see life as sacred, all of life as sacred. Everything that he does is a rich for about 3 years. My neck and my shoulder had gone away. And so when I got back up, I was trying to figure out, well, what do I do now? And I tried different things. I tried going back to librarianship. That didn't work. I couldn't work 4 days on a continuing basis. I gave that up and became a lady of bounty at my church, you know, heading the women of the church and preparing dinners and stuff like that. And I discovered that I had absolutely no talent for calling people on the phone and asking them to bring cookies or chatting people up for seemingly spiritual but actually political reasons. And I had to give that up. So I sort of went back to ground zero and said, how do I want to build my life? How do I want to do this? And I watched Jim. And Jim has this way of never hurrying but getting everything done. Because he's got a clear schedule. He's got rituals. So I have gradually built up my life according to the rituals with which I'm most comfortable. And I found that I was actually a writer, that my work was waiting for me. And so eventually I began working on a Wanderer's Handbook, and I've been writing and, you know, having that kind of schedule in my life for professional work ever since.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I sent you a topic today, and you
so.
Pardon me?
You varied from, I said you used to be a full-time musician, so you varied from profession to your life.
You know what? They told me in one channeling that I was going through working out 27 lifetimes this lifetime.
Well, that's really, isn't it?
Yeah, which is, you know, when I was in high school, I was like all into electronics. I was a ham radio operator. I was I had commercial radio licenses. When I went to college, I used to work in commercial TV stations. I was in the electrical union. And I thought that was my career. I thought I had an aptitude for it. And then life kept going this way, that way, and the other way. But I can see that everything I did played a part in what I'm doing now and made a contribution, because I've had such a cross spectrum of experience of not only different things that I've done, so many different kinds of people, that you kind of integrate that and you start to see the oneness, how each person has their own individual expression of the oneness, and there's no blockage to seeing it. I think when I sold things at fairs, that was probably the height of that experience, because I learned that if there was anyone that I ever had a judgment on, and they were coming up to my booth to buy something, I better get rid of my judgment, or they're not going to buy anything. So you learn to love people just because they're there in front of you, regardless of whatever, you know, thought you might have had beforehand. And one of my first poems had to do with that. I don't know if I sent it out to the group. A vendor's bird's eye view, where I don't have it in front of me, so I guess I better not say anymore. Otherwise, I'd read it. But you know, I sent you this topic, and I don't. We can just see if it. Pardon me?
About authority.
About the God of opinion versus the real divine source. And I really think that is something that people don't even know they're worshiping. I can use the word worshiping the God of opinion or being controlled by the God of opinion. And to some extent, there's no way to get completely out of that. So it's not like to judge yourself because you do that. But it's something that I think if people recognize the symptoms of worshiping the God of opinion if they could look at themselves, they would at least know they were doing it. And then once you know you're doing something, you can readjust yourself. Because that's a really, I don't even know, did you understand what I meant by the God of opinion?
Well, I think that we are, as human beings, trapped or positioned firmly in a web of opinion when we're born. We have to believe our parents. That has to do with our having food and shelter and safety, and we tend to believe what our parents tell us. So right away, we're enculturated into believing authority. Well, my mom does it this way, my father says this. And so we're, I think, as thinking adults, or thinking people, I won't use the word adult because it doesn't have a lot to do with age, the ability to think for yourself. It does have to do with a certain ability to take responsibility for yourself and not just loaf along. But when you do take responsibility for yourself at whatever age, you have to examine all of these little gods of your childhood, your teachers, your parents, and the authority of the speakers that may have overmolded your opinion, or contrary-wise, may have caused you to rebel when you actually did not want to rebel, when you actually agreed with something that was said, but you know, positioned as a kid, you just want to rebel. And so you might throw away the baby with the bathwater as far as having good sense. So I think that, you know, it's a matter of sifting through and sifting through again and then taking yet another look and yet another look at your life and making sure your premises are still true.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we take authority from the silliest things. We take authority from people who are famous, for instance, but who may not have as much sense as we. Or we take authority from the talking heads on the TV who offer an opinion that may well be bought or may well be narrow. And it's so important to release ourselves from an automatic acceptance of the things people tell us. And I know that I was thinking about this earlier, and the first thing that came to me, besides a wonderful quote from, who was that? I think it was Francis Bacon, who is a relative of mine, 49 generations back. Anyway, he said, truth is the daughter of time, not of authority. And that says part of it right there, is that if you wait and gather your intelligence over time, you'll be able to shake out the things that aren't working for you as truth and find your personal truth for yourself and not simply lean on authority. The other thing I thought of after I got your email earlier, when in connection with the God of Opinion, is that my Confederation source, Kuo, always begins the session with a request. And I found the one I liked the best here. And he says, it is a signal blessing, this is Kuo speaking, to us, to be able to speak through this instrument and other instruments to people such as you. In this way, we feel that we can share information and opinion without infringing upon the free will of any. For we wish to ask you that you think us not to be an authority, for we are not an authority over you, but rather our companions along the way that we both walk. We know the way is dusty, and we appreciate your company as much as you appreciate ours. And I think this is such an important point. The tendency that we have is for an inspired force like the Confederation entity, such as Sewell or Ra, or inspired writers, or the Holy Bible, the Quran, whatever you think is spiritually inspired. Even as we read those things, we need to realize that that source was offering an opinion that has a high probability of being useful to a speaker, yet they can never talk to every seeker all at the same time. We're all unique. So they might miss the mark for you in this one instance. And if you try to mold yourself into that opinion that is given you from on high, you've limited yourself in a way which is toxic. So I think it's really fine of them to point out the primacy of free will in the spiritual process and say, look, you know, if our thoughts hit the mark, great. Take them, use them, this is fine. That's why we're here. We're hoping that some of our, you know, discussion will mean something to you, will resound, will resonate. But if it doesn't, drop it. Don't even think twice. Just move on. And I remember, this is a funny story, Wynn, and stop me if I'm going on too long. But there was a student of mine that had taken up a great deal of my time for a period of years. And finally, he became convinced that the sources that he was studying, which in his case was the raw material, were wrong on the subject of free will, and on that they were actually negative entities and should not be listened to. And so he every source that he could go to that would take his emails, he began badmouthing our group. And I kept being asked, please defend yourself, please defend yourself. And I kept saying, look, I don't have to defend myself. I'm living a life. People can come check me out. The channeling stands on its own. People can read that. They can think for themselves. There is no need for me to defend myself. Well, one of the things that happened from that was that this poor guy ended up in jail. He just went off the deep end. The other thing that was sad, but the positive thing that happened from it was that a woman that was spending a great deal of money working with this particular person sent me a check for $5,000, which was a lot of money in those days, not so much now. But it enabled us to print a book. It enabled us to print a Wanderer's Handbook.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that she did it was that she felt that instead of supporting a narrow-minded person's work, she would like to support the person who, as far as she could tell, completely without defense. Isn't that a beautiful story?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
So, I think that people that study channeling and study inspired sources need to retain the powers of discrimination that they have by birth, that they have by their very nature, and to trust that, to trust the individual sense that they have. It's not anybody else's sense, but it doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, all of us, it's our sense of ourselves, and we ought to know we're human, you know, we're on the inside looking out, so I think we can really trust our ability to discriminate between those things that are in general fine but do not resonate to us and those things that are our personal truths and kindle in us the fire of the love and the passion that the truth can develop within one. I know there are moments of such a joy in my life as I become aware in a new way of how perfect everything is, and you know that sense of yourself resonating endlessly, and feeling all the connection to all the other people in the tribe of humanity on Earth, and seeing how beautiful and how perfect that web of love really is, and how even though it doesn't make the radar of public events, politics, and economics, it is what makes the human breed so powerful.
Mm-hmm. You know, this God of opinion idea, it's like I remember at a certain point that I had the cognition that I had my father's voice in my head, and that no matter what I did, I had this voice that was saying, he would like this, he wouldn't like this, he'd like this person. And I, you know, for a long time, I never realized that voice was in my head. And when I did, it kind of blew me away. And, you know, what I see is that it's true for so many people, and it's not just your father, and it's everyone that becomes your father and mother, perhaps. But for example, you know, when we're talking here, this is an example, when we're talking, we're fairly present with each other. We're not like catering to the audience. In other words, I'm not trying to please the people who are listening. I mean, I want them to enjoy it. I want us to have an uplifting thing, but I don't have in my mind pleasing them. But I watch people that get into a public position, and that once they have the attention of people, they become attached to keeping the attention. And so they start asking themselves, well, subconsciously, I don't even think they do it consciously, they ask themselves, well, what will please people to keep the attention? And I believe this is kind of a service to self circuit, because instead of being authentic and coming from your center, you're thinking, how do I keep the energy pointed towards me? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. And I think that that's the weakest point of any world religion is that point at which they built a church and they have bills to pay, they've got upkeep, they've got maintenance, and so the church becomes a place where people need to be made happy instead of a place where people come to share the glory of worship, thanksgiving, and praise to the one infinite creator. And often the moment that you move from Jesus' point, for instance, where they met people's home and he taught in the marketplace, and he had no desire to create a church as such. He had a desire to create community, and he sent forth people to preach and to gather communities. And then I think the idea was that every village in Palestine, in Syria, and the places where he walked, there would be a place you could go to worship the one creator. And it was after his death, and after a couple hundred years had passed of people meeting in grottos, you know, you read of them meeting in the catacombs and in secret, because it was against the law at that time in the Roman Empire to worship anyone but Caesar. Was it Constantine? In 385, I'm not sure I have my facts straight, but at any rate, it was the emperor at the time saw a cross on the water, and the battle went his way, and so he declared that the religion of the Roman Empire was no longer the pagan gods, but was Jesus and Christianity. And of course, immediately, politics entered into the church, and the church has been a very political institution ever since. And it all stems from the fact that they are relating to their people not as priests with a completely unbiased desire to share the love of Jesus Christ or whatever world religion that their priests have, but that desire to sow, soothe, and palliate and make people feel comfortable and happy, that they will donate money. So I think it's a very common worldwide point of commonality, is that a new idea, a new spiritual truth will flourish underground. And when it gets to be the mainstream and it has that maintenance to worry about, there are enormous numbers of temptations that come in to change the way you say something in order to please the people to whom you are talking and from whom you wish to have money. So, you know, this doesn't just happen in religion. This happens in, you know, any organization. I think the human energy is fundamentally spiritual. But coming in second, very close, is the human tendency to become political and politicized. And to do things not for transparently spiritual reasons, but for manipulative reasons.
And you know, as you were talking, I had like this cognition that the internet, to some extent, for some people, is, and technology, even our conference lines, are like the communities that are built in present day. Not the only ones. I'm sure there's, like, I don't see people walking around in the village and sitting down, and they'd probably get in trouble for trespassing. But there's so many communities coming up on the internet where people are getting to know each other, affiliate with each other, connect with spirit. There was a very interesting channeling from Daphne last week, which left me thinking about something for a long time. And what they said was that it was a question about indigo and crystal kids. And they said, although the majority of them have no idea of why they're here and their mission here, that Facebook is creating an environment that they can share their authentic loving energies with each other in a buzz, and it's helping keep their energies outside of the negative stuff and into the higher, pulling in higher realms. So Facebook was creating community, even though they have no idea about it, and understanding, most of them don't have the understanding consciously. They found a place to, what's the word, congregate, so to speak.
Yeah. I must say one of the things that's been most challenging about my time in recovery is that I don't get to meet with my spiritual family in Christ in the parish church to which I go, so that I don't get that web of love that overpoweringly surrounds me when I am a part of that group, as we're all yearning to know the truth and yearning to be good workers for the light and the love of the Creator as we know Him in Jesus. And I've really missed that community. Of course, fortunately, as part of LNL research and with people writing in all the time, I am bathed in a web of love constantly. And Lynn, I must tell you, it's just amazing to me how many hundreds of people all over the world have sent prayers and wishes, ethic healing, and just good thoughts. It just really lifts your heart when you see that unknown friend that has come to you from Syria or from Poland or Greece or someplace in Africa. And you realize there's no space, there is no time. There is this web of love. And I think community is where you find it. For sure, one thing that LNL Research, our company, I guess you'd say our nonprofit company, that on which we hang all of our hats, you know, as we try to serve, has a new site. It's only been up about a year and a half now. But it is a spiritual community site where we create a lot of different forums for, so people can share their opinion on things that matter to them. And we have different forums for people interested in different aspects of the law of one, and for people just to talk, you know, that don't actually have to be working primarily on a specifically spiritual thing, but simply want to say, you know, I'm having this happen in my life, and has this happened to you, and how did you deal with it? So it's a very positive. It's www.bringforth.org, bringforth.org, and you can also blog on there. We have several people that share their thoughts. I do every day on the blog, but I'm not the only one. There are quite a few bloggers. But I think there are many different ways to express and share those things that matter to us. And how important is it, really, when your mind is opened and you're so excited about all the new things you're learning and you really feel like you're awake for the first time and you jumped out of the matrix, out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to talk to your family or your friends and they're just looking at you like, I'm not there, bud. So, you know, to be able to find a community of people with whom you can share those thoughts and talk on those subjects is a really blessed thing.
Hey, you know what? If we don't invite Terry to say anything, she's going to shy herself out of this whole conversation.
That's so true. That's so true.
Terry, are you there?
I'm here. I'm really enjoying this.
Do you have any...
What's coming to mind as you listen to this in your life?
Right now, I'm sitting in a parking lot, and some cars are driving by and stuff, and so it brings me right out of the frame of mind that I was in during that whole conversation, like I was in an altered state.
Everything fell away. Isn't that so true?
Terry, are you worried with...
that have been said that I can apply in my life.
Terry, you're not worried what people are thinking of that, are you?
Pardon?
You're not worried what people are thinking about you.
No, but I see, I have a tendency, when they laid me off at work and... think, wow, you know what's wrong with me, and to not stay centered about the whole thing, and to not even think that maybe it's getting too crazy there for me, and maybe this is Spirit's way of bringing me in more in alignment with something that I'm more in tune with.
I love that word tuning, to be in tune. To be in tune with yourself is more important, I think, than being in tune with anybody else. But once you get in tune with yourself, you are in tune with everybody else. All being one.
You know,
I love it. So, the good can drive out the bad. You know, if you get into a good, positive conversation, then, you know, you're in a whole different place than you were before. You're vibrating differently.
Yeah. As you were talking about one of the channelings that I did recently concerning the consciousness of the dolphins and how they are interdimensionally connected so that they don't get all wrapped up in the individual processes that are done against them in this realm, and they don't then get ground into this realm, but they keep their consciousness really high, and so they just move through it and on. For instance, in the blessings against them in Norway, where they have a ritual to kill the dolphins to the boys. It's one of the symbols of getting into manhood when they can go and kill the dolphins, and the dolphins look at that as something that those boys are going through, and in their relationship to their life here in this entity, and they don't get all bent out of shape about it, but they just move on.
I thought the amazing thing in that particular channeling was how the dolphins, I don't know if you're familiar with this ritual, but in some city in Norway, the sea is full of blood. They're all pulling dolphins out and torturing them, and the whole town does it as a ritual. And that when we asked about it, they said from the dolphins' point of view, they felt compassion for the people who were locking themselves into third dimension for so many future lifetimes by participating in an act like that.
And again, there's the question of authority. You know, the cultural authority that says this is the way to do things.
Yes.
I did not know until I met someone in Europe when I was there in 2005 that shamanism is alive and well in the Nordic countries.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful, powerful stuff coming from Norway and Finland.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't write, they just practice.
Mm-hmm. You know, and
offers a way to get to a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was also thinking when you were talking about Klo and this is they enjoy spending time with the group. And some years ago, I asked a question to the Elohim, and I said, "Do you really like it when people worship you?" And they said, no, that they really want to be our companion. There are higher interdimensional companions, and that they can energetically connect with someone and kind of work with them and help them. The way they describe it is lubricate the field with WD-40, and they just need to be in. They need to be invited in to do that, because then a person can have synchronicities or attract things to them that maybe without that extra help they couldn't get. And so their joy came from interacting with us like that, and being worshipped was just a way that humans responded to what seemed to be this huge authority in another realm. we had conversations.
I don't think that Jesus has ever wanted to be related to as worshiping. He wanted people to see through him to the Father, and he kept telling people, all these things that I do, you will do these things and more.
Right.
You know, as I am to the Father, so you are to me, therefore so you are to the Father. In
mm-hmm.
other words, it's developing the idea that we are all pieces of the Creator. All
mm-hmm.
here to hope, I think St. Paul said.
Yes.
Of the Creator.
Now there's another good thought that crossed my mind that I just forgot. Oh well. Pardon me? I was like debating in my mind, should I say this, or should I be polite and let Carla say what she's going to say? Because I knew I would forget it if I didn't. So now I forgot it. All right.
Well, it's probably not worth going back and finding. Maybe it'll pop back in. Send your librarian after it.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's about.
Say, go find that.
It's about 6:50. We can probably extend the time for another 2 minutes.
Okay. Hang on a second.
Unmuted.
We will see you all in Whole Planet Healing.
Thank you from Seattle.
Thank you.
Always.
Delighted, Terry Wynn. Thank you from Perth, WA.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Wynn. Hi, everybody.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Nick, do I owe you anything?